Yeah. Welcome back to the show. You know what it is. To Pitoofies in a pod. It's your boy, Mr. Pitoofie, to you.
To you.
You know, as it is. And who else we got here?
What's up? It's your boy, Frecky. You already know who it is. And of course, we got our special guest, Mr. Manny, another De Leon, a long lost brother, but
yes, sir.
Here he is today.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
What's up?
And so, what are we gonna talk about, Mr. Pitoofy?
Today we're talking military experiences.
Why you sound so quiet? What's going on over there?
Quiet? What do you mean?
you're just kind of low over there.
Do I need to get closer? Cause I know it's bad just when not, I get
just,
close.
Yeah, just.
I know. Look,
just don't yell at them.
It's already rising.
Just don't yell at them.
It's already rising over here, so I don't know how close I should get.
Just no Sunday.
It's not good. So what are we gonna talk about though? Scooby Doo, pop pop. We got a winner chicken dinner.
I already said we were gonna talk about military experiences.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So as you guys don't know, Manny has been in the military as a Marine for how long?
Five years.
5 years. So he is here with us today to give you guys a little bit of real feel, some actual life experiences.
Thanks for your service, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for your service for sure.
Thank you for that. And
then we're going to go a little bit into some tough decisions that, not SID decisions, but tough things that also affected his life in certain ways. So we'll get to that. And so you want to get straight to it, Manny?
Let's do it.
Yep. All right. Miss Pitufa, you want to lead us here?
All right. So we're going to start with our opening question. What made you go into the military?
Just like a lot of guys, you know, especially that served around my time, we were affected. Like, we grew up seeing 9/11 happen, so we were, you know, motivated to be able to actually, you know, go and fight for that. But to be honest with you, it was more so a motivation out of, like, I want to provide something for my family, and you know, that was the best means I felt for where I was in my life. So
okay. And then you were in the Marines, right?
That is correct. United States Marine Corps.
What was it like being in the Marines? Like, can you give us an insight on, like, what you did?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a loaded question. So it's definitely layered in the way that you go through it, you know. So it's a five-year career. So you start off, you go to boot camp first. That's 3 months long. And then after you do those 3 months, they send you to your job training. So depending on whatever your job is, it could be anywhere from another 3 months to a whole year, depending on if you have a certain job that requires you to do longer schooling. I was a basic rifleman. So it was 3 months of infantry training. So we learned basic combat training, and then we get sent to a unit. And then I went to my unit after that, and then we trained up for 9 months. It's called a workup. And those 9 months were pretty much just training to see if we're ready to go to be a combat unit. So we actually trained up for 9 months, and then we went, and then pretty much, I mean, came back, and then I did one more deployment to Southeastern Asia. And then after that, I came home, did the rest of my time, and then came home.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How was Asia?
You
guys building rifles or something? Like, what were you doing?
So, as a
building
rifles.
So, as a basic rifleman. Wait, hold on. She said, what? Rifleman? You guys were building rifles?
She's not too far off.
I mean, I guess you do build them in a sense. Yeah, but
so essentially.
I don't know what you said about the military.
A rifleman is the basic idea of like a G.I. Joe, you know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, I was in the Marine Corps, but there's also riflemen in the Army, and other combat elements of different branches have their version of it. But for me, I was a rifleman, so that means you basically, you're not too far by saying we put them together, but we would take them apart. You learn every part of a rifle.
Yeah, you so should. You got to learn your gun. You
exactly. Gotta know your gun. Exactly. So you learn all that kind of stuff.
I wanna go ever back. Have to do it like blindfolded?
Yeah, essentially.
Take it apart and do it.
I got to levels. Yeah, you were definitely training where you're training left-handed, right-handed, blindfolded, one hand, no hands. You know what I'm saying?
No hands. Your feet?
I mean, not no hands. You're always going to do one hand. I'm just saying, one hand
with
your back.
No hands.
You know what I'm saying? So you go through different scenarios. Like, what would you do if you had no hands? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. In terms of
combat, medication situations and stuff like that. You just go through all the ways of, like, how would I apply a tourniquet if I had a broken bone, you know what I'm saying? Or if I had a open femur, you know what I'm saying?
Like, to yourself, like, you practice as if it were yourself, or like even anybody else as well.
Yes, sir. And you time it, and you try to get better at the time, and the time get better and better.
So let me take you back here. You mentioned you was in the Marines. To you, in your opinion, what is Marine the best to you? Do you think there's
Oh man.
Yeah, so obviously I have a biased opinion. so yeah, I do believe the Marine Corps is the best.
But you guys are front runners too, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of standards in which I base that argument upon, you know what I'm saying? So it ain't just me being cocky and me being arrogant. I just feel like based on the proof is in the pudding, you know, the product of what we go through and what it turns out is a truly high standard. But overall, once you experience it and you learn, like, in terms of what it correlates over to, it doesn't correlate well to the civilian world. So if you want to, like, compare what would correlate best to the civilian world, the Air Force is probably the best. You know what I'm saying? Just because you got to be the smartest to get in there. And then if you're in there, you're really, you know, you're doing a high technical job. You're not just a basic. There's no rifleman in the Air Force.
Yeah, I got it.
Just a basic airman, you know.
Shit, I got a Scooby-Doo pop-up moment. See? Yeah, I did have another question. Así mismo, carnal, así mismo.
Te vuelo ese coco. Pirulo.
I got it. So, for example, take the knee down on the NFL, everything got crazy. You know, people was feeling some type of way, you know. That's just an example, but my question to you is, does it offend you when you see people that don't care for the national anthem, don't, you know, stand for it? Not even that, like, do you take that seriously strict? Does it offend you in any way, or how do you feel about that?
So I've grown, you know, so I definitely matured throughout the years. So I did this in my early years, you know, I've done this when I was 18 till I was 24. So therefore, like, it's always offended me, and it still offends me to see, and it kind of, you know, it hurts a little bit to see, but in the end, I've come to understand, like, that's the freedom that I fought for them to do that, you know what I mean? So it gives them that, and not just me, but all the guys, and, you know what I'm saying, the guys that gave their life for it, I know it's, you know, that's what they did it for. So you could be able to do that, and you got all the freedom to not be stopped. No one's going to you know, violently harm you for saying what you believe in, whatever you believe in.
Right.
You know, so that's what we fought for. That's what America's all about. So I take a lot of pride in that, and that kind of helps me cope with the, you know, the anger and whatnot.
Yeah. So the reason why I asked is because when that was happening in football, there was certain people that said they wasn't going to watch football no more because of it.
Yeah.
There was them people, you know. And a lot of people love the sport, but just for that, they was like, no, that's it. I'm not watching that.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends that I served with who didn't say they were going to stop watching football because we're all diehards, most of us. But sure.
Go Browns.
Yeah, go. But yeah, no, so yeah, them dudes definitely felt some type of way where I can understand it because what they were speaking of and, you know, the story got kind of tainted a little bit. But what they were really trying to say was the flag doesn't stand for what it should stand for. You know what I'm saying? And I could respect that. And I just felt like, you know, there's some ways to do that. You know what I mean? And my opinion don't matter. So, you know what I mean? I just try to stay in my lane.
That's what you fought for, right?
Yeah, for sure. But
I mean, it doesn't matter, but it has some accountability, some value somewhere. Got to, right?
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, that's the question I had. Then Miss Pitu forgot some other things. I just wanted to, you know.
Jack real quick.
What did you overcome being in the Marines?
Sheesh. Adulthood, you know. So, like, even though we're all raised differently, once you get to adulthood, none of that shit matters. Whatever happened during your childhood, you got to figure it out. You know, and some people still have, you know, that security system to kind of support them to do whatever. But when you're just thrown out there to the wolves, you kind of learn a lot about yourself and you grow up really fast. So therefore, I just learned life. You know, I learned how to take losses. I learned how to test myself and things that I never thought I could do. And just try it and push myself and then find out.
So what was one main thing you overcome? Like, what was something you, like, super happy, excited that you accomplished it? You know, you just like, oh, I can't believe I got over that, or, you know.
Every step of the way, I tried not to get too far ahead of myself. I genuinely wanted to do it for 20 years. I wanted to do it for a whole career. So in the beginning, I just tried to stay focused on the present and not get too far ahead of myself and just do one thing at a time. So, yeah, every obstacle along the way, I definitely didn't believe I could get through boot camp, and somehow I made it through. I didn't think I'd make it through the School of Infantry because it's even harder physically, and I made it through. I didn't think I would make it through the work up to the deployment, made it through. I didn't think I'd make it home, made it through. You know what I'm saying? So every step of the way, you have the bigger obstacle until – you know, you get done. And that's the biggest obstacle of all, of saying, like, okay, now I got to go back to the real world. You know what I mean?
Got to see it through, my boy.
Absolutely.
So, has it changed you? I mean, you did say, like, you know, you had to get through all the steps and you had to figure out some shit. But, like, what was the drastic change? Just, like, maturity or... Obviously, you know, we talked a little bit about how they try to break your emotions or break you down. So like that, you're trained to just know combat and what's there now. But
yeah, absolutely. All those things definitely play a factor. Maturity is the biggest one. Yeah, going through life and really being like, you're kind of given way too much power, and not given, you earn it. You know what I'm saying? You earn it. But we're 18, 19, 20-year-old kids with, you don't have to pay for your house as long as you live in the barracks, and you don't have to pay for your meals as long as you got a meal card. So if you have those two things, which most single Marines, young single Marines do, now all your paychecks can be spent doing what? Drinking. You know what I'm saying? So these guys all go out and get hammered. We all, not these guys, us guys, all, it's part of the culture, is just to drink a lot. So we go out and we party and we drink and we drink and we drink. So it's like, you know, having the ability, kind of like a college student, to just go and do that and not face really crazy repercussions. You know what I'm saying? That's part of your job. Like, you come to work hammered and you still got to run. And if you throwing up, it don't matter. You still got to fucking run. But as long as you're there, it's cool. But if you go to office job hammered, you're getting sent home and written up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
You know, just those little things and learning the responsibility of how not to abuse that and approach it like a professional. You know, those things are definitely the things I learned as I got through my career.
So I got a quick question. What made you not want to do the 20-year run? Like, what made you stop?
So I started to get into some trouble, to be honest with you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so I had a 5-year contract, and most of the guys that I was in with had 4-year contracts.
Okay.
So as all these dudes started getting out, I was pretty much like the last of the old breed. You know what I mean?
Fuck that, I want to get out too.
So, I mean, to be honest, you do want to get out, but I was really holding it strong for, like, you know, the old traditional ways of how things should be.
Mm.
And a lot of dudes didn't want that. They didn't want, you know, they weren't having that. They wanted, it's a new, we're going to clean this up and polish this up. And I was still pushing what I believed in, what I was taught. And I was going to do that till the day I left. And I did that. But with that being said, it just made me see the differences of, like, where they were going and the direction they were going and where I wanted to take my life and like where I would have been able to like find my place.
I want to try something here. So, Mr. Pitufi,
what's up?
We're gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I want you to guess, just not even guess, but come up with something you think that Manny might have done that was the funniest thing he did in the military.
That was the funniest?
Yeah. Why he think about what probably was the funniest thing he did in the military. He probably already got what a story, but I want you to guess and think what you think was one thing he probably did that was the funniest.
I don't know, maybe beat somebody up, because I know in all...
Well, that's not funny, though. I'm saying like...
That is funny, beating somebody up.
He said that is funny. You laugh while you beating it up?
Yeah, hell yeah. I might catch a quick chuckle. Like, I just fucked this thing up. No, but either way, yeah. I know that's how like usually the military works. Like when you're on base and you have nothing else to do, you guys are all just fucking beating each other up.
I think the funniest thing, like I was thinking more like a video I seen that they're all doing the combat training and shit. Yeah. And why they're doing the going through the door when they gotta go from corner to corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
You come in.
You're like clearing the room.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think something like, Manny accidentally, he threw a grenade, boom. And it bounced back, Rotary, boom!
Oh, no.
You fucking killed this damn! Fuck! But obviously it wouldn't be funny at the moment, but they probably, you know, after you talk about it, like, this nigga, man, remember this dumbass fucking rolled a grenade, bro, and just almost fucking killed us all. Thank God it was training.
Thank God it was training.
Do you have a funny, like, what do you think, what's the funniest thing that ever happened to you in the military?
All right, so there is actual footage that I am not proud of that is out there. As a junior Marine... Most like, and I explained it to Mr. Pitufi earlier, it's a lot like college frat, you know what I'm saying, where they have all the, you know, the hazing and whatnot. But this, you know what I'm saying, it's not considered hazing, it's considered training, essentially, because it's always attached to some type of tactical value. So they made us read this book. You ever seen the movie 300?
Yeah.
All right. So
Spartans!
Yeah, so this is the book about the Battle of Thermopylae, that battle. But it's the actual story and all the tactics and everything. So we had to read this book. And at the end of the book, we had to do a play of 300.
For real.
So there's footage. There's photos that I'm not proud of me.
I'm not proud of.
With no shirt on. With a marker. Drawn. A little six-pack ass. With muscles and everything. And we got broomsticks. And we got, like, capes on. Like, we from 300. And we literally, like, in that motherfucker, like, had to... Do the whole play like it was 300 and everything.
You got kicked into
the So, yeah, I was... And it got little green, tighty-whitey joints and, you know what I'm saying, the green little shorts pulled up and whatnot. And you see my white-ass legs. So, yeah, that's what I would say is the most... Probably one of the more embarrassing moments of my career.
That's cool, man. Would you recommend military to anybody close to you?
I mean, that's tough because right now I have two nephews, you know what I'm saying, who are about that age, and they're both kind of asking about it and we talk about it. So I used to think like, man, I'm doing this so they never have to do it. But then I get to see that the way that they're like kind of going in the directions that they're going, and I see how much it could help them and how much it helped me at their age. So therefore, I think it all depends on the situation. And I know that's a cop-out answer. But it's kind of like me and Pipe was talking about the one day, you know, it's just like playing basketball. There ain't no one best move. You know, there ain't one best shot. It all depends on the player and the situation. So, yeah, man, it all depends on the person and, you know, what situation they're in and what they're really looking for in their life.
That's cool. That's what's up. So you wouldn't recommend them, you're saying?
I would. If you're gonna put a gun to me and make me pick, I would say yes.
Go serve them.
Fucking yeah, go serve your country. Go learn something about yourself.
Do you guys hoo ya?
No, oorah.
Oorah.
Yeah.
We kinda said at the same time too.
But then like at the same time, like I said, I was a rifleman, so when you're in, it's called like a nickname. It's called grunts. We call each other grunts. We're the grunts. That's who we are. That's what we get. They refer to us as the grunts. So as a grunt, They make fun of people who are like motivated, the motivation and stuff. So when people say oorah, motherfuckers make fun of that. You know what I'm saying? So we say "er."
Is that like your chant?
Or is whatever? He meditating over there? What the fuck is going on?
I'm in my happy place.
What the fuck? I'm over like, bro, what is that, yo?
He's looking around for what's that noise?
He is meditating over there.
Nah, just fucking around, you know. So obviously we was gonna ask you what's probably one of the hardest thing you did in the military, but it would probably be just taking them steps to accomplish it, or like you said a little bit about all the steps and learning, you know, whatever. Was that the hardest thing, or was there
the physically the hardest thing is when we were in Afghanistan actually carrying the amount of weight that we had to carry on every operation was pretty unbelievable looking back at it now. You know what I'm saying? I look back at it now and I'm like, man, that shit's crazy, you know. So yeah, that was probably some of the harder shit. Also training wise, we do a lot of hikes. They're called hikes, but it's like what you imagine is a hump or whatever, you a long distance walk with all the packs on or whatever.
Yeah,
so that's what we would do, a lot of those. Those used to be really hard, and as a rifleman, you take a lot of pride in that. You don't fall out of that. You don't quit. You don't fall out. You don't give up. You keep going. So I had a clean record. Never fell out of one. You know what I'm saying? I take pride in that now to this day. Never won. You know what I'm saying? I always made it through the hardest ones, some crazy ones that we literally had like 9 people left. Yeah. Shout out to the Survivor 9 if you ever listen to this.
Survivor 9.
But yeah, nah, it was one. There was only 9 of us left, man.
You ever seen people get shot?
Yeah.
Never died? You seen people die?
I mean, not one of our guys. Yeah, you know, the other people. Yeah.
No, you never seen nobody. Everybody in your team was always good, safe.
So as far as like the breakdown, my squad, we were all, everybody made it back clear. But in our company, we had a couple guys lose some limbs.
So if people do die and shit, is it because they made a wrong move, or you know, they took a risk, or like, or is it just shit happens?
That's a loaded fucking question. Definitely a loaded question. So I'll tippy toe around it and just say, like, there's definitely situations where leadership gets you in situations you shouldn't be in. And that's fucked up, and that hurts a lot of guys, and a lot of guys live with that. But most of the time, it's just being a casualty of numbers, bro. It's like the odds of you being out there every day and getting in, going at it, like eventually, you know what I'm saying, you're going to step on the wrong thing, and, you know, it could be an IED there, or, you know, the rounds that are flying over your head every day, one of them motherfuckers might just come a little lower and, you know what I'm saying, catch you. So it just comes with the territory, comes part of the job. And again, like we were talking about, if rounds are going off, we're going towards it. We're not going to, you know what I'm saying, not going away from it. So therefore, you kind of understand it's part of the job.
Mr. Pitufi, you think you could do the military?
I'm not going to cap. I thought about it when I was younger.
No, I ain't asked you that. I said, do you think you can do the military?
This nigga act him all. He asked him all militant and shit like this.
What the fuck is that? Sir, yes, sir. Yes, I think I can do the military, sir.
There he goes. You ain't got the mic.
The fuck am I supposed to do?
No, for real though.
About face, nigga. What the fuck?
Do you think you could do it though?
No, I don't think I'd be able to.
No.
No.
What's one thing you think that would stop you from being able to be in the military?
I mean, I know it. I know you say it makes you mature, but if a nigga's yelling in my face, I don't think I'd be able to handle that. And that's how probably like immature that shows me to be. But
just smack him, spit back at him, or something.
I don't know what I'd do, but I know I wouldn't be able to handle it.
You bring out the hacky sack.
What the fuck is a hacky sack? What the fuck are you talking about?
I believe in you, bro. I believe you do it.
Yeah. I can just see you doing it.
So,
we all do it.
Me?
Any day I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I know he could do it. I know he could do it. The only thing that it sucks is, like, it is true. Like, a lot of us are, a lot of us want to be leaders. Nobody want to sit here and fucking follow orders from nobody. Nobody want to sit here and, you know, listen to this guy fucking yelling at you. Look at this and this. And, to be honest, like, Who does? You know what I mean? So when you guys do it, that's probably the reason, or part of the reason why they try to, like, destroy, not destroy you guys, but, like, you know, like you said, get build, break you guys down, or the emotions, you know, reality that you guys already did.
They turn into robots.
Yeah, straight robots, you know, and that's probably why. That's probably why, because nobody wants to be listening to nobody else.
He looked at me like a robot. He was like, robot. No feelings.
He looked at you so serious.
Like, right. He was like,
did they ever put a chip in you, bro? No. Did you ever wake up with, like, a stitching and you had a chip in you or something?
You're like, what the fuck?
No.
You got batteries. Wasn't here yesterday.
You got batteries like Mr. Krabs. Beep, beep, boop, bop, beep, boop. No, I think it's beep, beep, bop, beep, beep, bop. Did you ever expect any of that when you went in? You was like, damn, I wonder what the fuck these motherfuckers are going to do to me. Like,
yo, to be honest, I didn't even know what the Marine Corps was until probably the year that I joined.
Yeah,
I thought the Army was the only thing that I could do. I was going to go be a regular Army G.I. Joe, you know what I'm saying? Like,
because I thought the same thing. I thought all the military was like all the Army, and then I started realizing, like, damn, there's Coast Guards, there's Navy.
I thought I was going to be a regular Army G.I. Joe, yeah, but like, I was a Marine Corps.
Yeah, bro. So,
I was in this bitch.
So, like, again, like, it sounds like I'm very biased, and I am. I admit my bias from the jump, but as soon as you get in that recruiting station, that motherfuckers pull you in and they start recruiting you. Like, it's top of the line, high standard stuff. And it's just like, you see the standards from the jump are higher. Everything is nicer. Everything is, like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And everything's based on war fighting. Even if you're not going to fight the war, they sell it to you as if you're going to support the war fighters. So I made sure that, you know, I got lucky enough to be in a job that I got to go do it.
Yeah.
But even a regular job in the Marine Corps is you're pretty tough because the standards are so high.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just being a Marine alone is pretty.
Did you have to, like, walk around with those pins in your collar so that you wouldn't, like, move your neck anywhere? I've seen those, like, memes. Is that true?
I'm not sure what you're referencing.
I'm not sure exactly. What
this is classified top secret shit, guys.
What is pins? What is that?
I'm saying, like, needles. They had, like, pins. Like, I've seen,
like, memes. Collars, like dogs, nigga. Like
not. I mean, I guess in a sense, yeah. But yeah, they would have, like, pins in their collars.
So they don't turn their necks.
Like, they literally would just walk straight as fuck. Like, they wouldn't move their neck or nothing. No. Like, there was no nothing.
That was their practice.
So,
look alive, boys.
So I've seen a video like that, but that was foreign military. The video that I seen. I don't know if that's the same one you seen.
Yeah, I think they were, like, Asian.
Okay, then maybe. Yeah. We never did nothing like that. But it wouldn't be crazy for someone in the Marine Corps to go through that in boot camp. They really do some crazy stuff to get you to learn how to drill. That's what you do all through boot camp. So yeah, it would probably be something that they would do. But yeah.
Another quick question. Did you guys do that, like, gun stuff?
Yeah. Not like the silent drill team that you see.
What is that from high school?
That's the color guard. That's the color guard.
Something like that.
The color guard.
Yes, sir.
At the games, you talking about the ones that be at the sports events and shit?
Yeah. Like a big, you know, important parade. They'd be like,
doing that stuff. I've done one of those before. It's like a duty, you know what I'm saying? It's like an extra, like, they'll send you as extra assignment, go do this parade.
So it's kind of like jury duty and, like, in life. No,
because,
like,
you get to go to a free basketball game or something. So, like, or whatever it is. You get paid, you're at work, but you're just in uniform and you get to.
That's dope.
And they give you free food and shit. So.
Silver lining.
So let's tell the people, obviously, you was in Afghanistan. Where were you stationed at?
In Afghanistan?
Yeah.
In the Helmand province.
You said, you was telling us a little bit about it yesterday, and you was like, if we go now, it's going to be like little baby cows or baby goats.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine now there's no American forces now. So I imagine it's either taken back by Taliban forces or it's just regular village folk living there now. But I wasn't in the point I was trying to make yesterday was I was not in a city, like Mike was explaining about, like, Kabul and the bigger cities. They do have electricity. They have all that, stores and cars and roads and all that. Where I was, it was none of that.
Yeah. So it was very rural.
Very rural, yeah, yeah. No lights, no water, no roofs, just walls and dirt.
No way.
Mud, yeah, mud. All the walls are made out of mud and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, how long were the days? Was it like, how long of the day were you?
5 hours.
Huh? What you say?
Yo. 24 hours, bro.
No, 24
saying,
hours.
I'm saying y'all didn't work all day, right? Y'all wasn't combat or, you know, training or doing all that shit all day. How much hours?
Actually, maybe when you're on ops, right? Like there might be days where you're literally up 24 hours. Just
what's the longest you went without sleeping?
These are like back to back fire
questions. Probably 30s, in the 30s, maybe 40, 38, 40
hours.
Hours, yeah.
So
almost 2 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even when you go to boot camp, the first thing you do the very first day, they keep you up for at least 24 hours, if not 24 to 30.
Really?
Yeah, the entire first day you don't go to sleep.
And that's just for training? Or
and that's like initiation yeah, type that, shit? Like, all right,
or you get to do whatever you want and stay up there late?
No, bro, you're training nonstop. The whole time? Yeah, the whole time, yeah. Dude, most of it is really just checking in. You're really just doing a bunch of check-in stuff of just getting your uniforms, getting all your IDs, all that stuff. But in the middle of all that, you're still getting, you know what I'm saying, physical training and all that. But in actual Afghanistan, you know, we stood post, and that's where you do actually have to stand out there for, you know, as long if your relief is out there and they don't come back because they get in a firefight, until they're done with that firefight and they come back, you're on post.
What's the craziest thing that you ever experienced? Was it the not being able to take a good right shower? Or, you know,
did oh,
you
yeah, ever had to talk about that?
Did you ever had to piss and shit on yourself, bro? Like, was that, you know, part of the survival skills? Like, if you gotta go, you gotta go. Or how was that like?
I've never shit on myself. You know what I'm saying? There's always dig a hole. That's what that's
shit,
you know,
in a hole.
Yeah, yeah. So
how you wipe your ass?
I mean, whatever you typically when you get good in the game, like I said, it's like a professional. You get good at it eventually, so you always keep toilet paper on you. You always keep that thing on you. a little bit of TP on you, but again, you also learn tricks of the trade. You cut a sleeve off if you ain't got none, or you use your sock.
Do you rinse it and reuse it?
No, you just bury it. Yeah, you bury it.
Okay. Well, you can't rinse it, right? You probably don't. Oh yeah, I got water, right?
You go one sock, no sock. Yeah, just trenching.
But you always keep extra socks. Grunts are all about extra socks. You always
carry more socks for anything. Than
yeah, if it's 7 days, you bring 14 socks, bro, or 10 socks. You know what I'm saying? You don't bring as many socks as there's days, no.
Yeah.
Because you're always changing your socks. You got to take care of your feet.
So it's like vacation and underwear.
So you said you didn't shit yourself. Did you piss yourself?
I brought hella. I always bring hella underwear wherever I go.
You pissed yourself? I've pissed myself on purpose. One time we were doing a hike.
I brought hella.
One time we were doing a hike, and it was cold as fuck. It was freezing rain, and my boy was like, man, I'm about to piss myself because it's going to be warm. And I was like, for real? I'm like, you nasty, bro. I was like, why don't you just piss outside where it's raining anyways? He's like, nah, because it's going to be warm. And I was like, man, you're tripping. And he started to do it, and he's like, oh, bro, it works. It's so warm. And I was like, fuck it. All right, bet. I'm going to do it, too.
It was cold?
We're freezing cold, bro. We're, you know what I'm saying? Like, walking through the rain, hiking however far we were going.
Did it freeze?
And that's exactly what happened. As soon as I started to piss myself, it was warm. But then he's like, oh, no. Oh, no. And it got colder. Yeah, so it made it worse.
Hell no.
But, yeah, we're in the rain anyways, though.
I don't even
know
if I'll be able to, like, deal with just pissed up pants.
I mean, I had to I had to share that story after all the stories y'all been sharing.
It got in the boots.
So you just had.
I mean, you have a rain suit on. I mean, a top and a bottom is called Gore-Tex top and bottom. So it's like.
So
a
you, did you do it?
Suit
like the Air Force's Gore-Tex.
Yeah, exactly that material. Really? So it's supposed to be weather. That's a weatherproof material.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so you wear that in the rain or in the snow. To keep things from getting soaked.
That's dope.
Yeah. But I had to share that. Y'all have been sharing some really private information, so I figured, fuck it, why not?
I was going to ask you, so did you do it for the warmth of it, or did you do it just because you had a pee? Like,
I don't know, bro. You're not thinking. You just
Monkey see, monkey do type shit.
Yeah, I guess it's more funnier than anything. I guess, right? Yeah, he's like,
that dude, this is a joke.
When you're walking for hours and hours and hours, you know what I'm saying? You need to just have fun. You stop. You don't hurt no more. The pain goes away. You just start walking, bro. Yeah. And you literally start joking and talking and singing and doing everything that boys do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Guys would do.
That's fucked up.
So it's like kids when they're playing.
Worse than that, bro.
So, you know, like sometimes, like when they're young, obviously, but you know, they're being like potty trained and shit. You're like, why didn't you go to the bathroom? Because I was playing.
Yeah, no,
I didn't want to miss out on anything.
Absolutely.
You're like, dude, you were going to miss out on 2 minutes of nothing and come back.
So, when you talk about funny, like, I mean, it's definitely those things where like you had to be there, but the amount of things that I've seen people do for money. So it's like, yo,
money's the root of all
evil. I bet you you won't stick your hand in that or put your hand in this or do this or grab that spider or kiss that frog or whatever it is. Eat that bug, eat that whatever.
That's crazy. I was going to get to that. So I was going to get to that too. I was going to get to survival mode and be like, what's the craziest thing you ate? I remember you told us you ate a couple things. What's the craziest thing you ate?
So in the survival side, we in Malaysia, we were training with different, we trained with their special forces, and they were teaching us all this survival training. So we ate monkey, which was the nastiest thing I've ever eaten.
Monkey?
We ate boar. We ate crickets. We ate all kind of bugs. We ate chipmunk. What else did we eat?
Didn't you say y'all tried a scorpion or something?
Yeah, I ate a pregnant scorpion.
What?
A pregnant scorpion?
That's a story he got.
So you ate hella bugs like you was Timon and Pumbaa?
Yeah. He must have been Timon because he definitely ain't no Pumbaa.
Fucking bugs though. Ew.
All right, so this
shrubs.
So this is the story of the pregnant scorpion. So we were in
get over here.
We were in the Philippines. And when we were training in the Philippines, they were teaching a class on survival. And they were explaining that you could eat the scorpion. All you had to do is take out the stinger. So you put a stinger out, you grab by the claws, and you eat this thing. So as soon as he's done teaching the class, he asked for a volunteer. Who's going to volunteer? Who's going to raise their hand and volunteer?
Mr. Manny.
No, nobody is.
Nobody wants to.
I didn't.
Psych.
Right. So at this point, I'm
pregnant. Did they tell you I was pregnant?
This is my second deployment.
By the way.
It didn't. She didn't.
Okay.
I'm going to get to that, though. But this is my second deployment. So at this point, I'm in charge of people. So I have junior guys now. I'm not that junior guy.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I'm like, you, go. I start pointing to guys, and I'm picking them, and I'm sending them. They're like, they can't say no. They got to go. So they go. And I'm like, you, go. So I'm just picking guys and picking guys, and everybody knows what's up. They like, oh, okay. You know, like I told you, I was the hard-headed dude who wouldn't let go of the old ways.
Yeah.
And these dudes would be all friends with them. No, I'm... You know, stick it to the... So I'm like, you go. Eventually, the dude noticed it. The Filipino dude, the dude who's teaching the class noticed it. And at the end, he was like...
So, you later, huh?
And he asked for one more volunteer. I went to go send somebody. He said, no. He told him to sit down. And he told me, you, come. And he picked me. I'm like... No, my dude, you don't know how this works. Like, you know,
right.
Like, nah.
I'm not the guinea pig no more.
They go.
I'm not the guinea pig.
And I'm trying to explain it to him. And he's like, no. You... Go. And I understood kind of like he's teaching me a lesson right there. Like, yo, if you're going to be a leader and you're going to challenge people to do things, then you better be willing to do it yourself. So in that moment, I was like, he got me. I bet I'm with that. So I walk up there and now I'm in front of not just these guys, young guys, but all my boys, all my senior, everybody out there. And he pulled out the scorpion and I didn't think nothing of it. I thought it was just another scorpion.
Yeah.
But it was the last one in the bucket for a reason. Right.
Mm-hmm. So
they hand me the scorpion. They hurry it. They show me how to do it. Pull the stinger out. And I'm just like, man, you know, I'm aggressive. I just get it over with. So I go, I throw it in. I bite down. As soon as I bite down, bro, it squirted in my mouth like a fruit gusher.
What's the song they used to sing?
It was like,
what?
What's the song they used to sing when they was looking for bugs? Timon and Pumbaa.
I don't remember.
Me neither.
Fuck. Yeah, I can't think of it off the top of my head right now.
They're round. They're juicy. They're all type of... I forgot what the fuck they said, but they love their shrubs.
Yeah, man, that was the story, man. It squirted all in my mouth. I didn't know it was pregnant, but I thought it was normal. I never ate a scorpion before, so I thought it was normal. I'm chewing it, and like,
the baby as I'm chewing it,
No, but I was scared in my mind. That psychologist kept
like, like a movie.
Yeah, bro. So I'm chewing it, and like I'm so like in it, I start screaming like, yeah, D-mak-mak.
That's the, wait, what the hell
they,
you say?
They would say this thing where we go ooh-rah, and they would go D-mak-mak.
D-mak-mak.
So I looked at all they dudes and I showed them. And they're looking at me, brother, like, yo, these American motherfuckers are crazy, bro. We thought we were crazy for eating the scorpions. This dude's out here screaming. I'm like, D-mak-mak.
You went from ooh-rah to D-mak-mak.
So yeah, a lot of people made fun of me for years after that. For the, every time they see me, they'd be like, D-mug-mug.
So before we go on this commercial break, let these people know. How do you say goodbye in the military?
Not in the military, shit. But as a grunt, not goodbye, but just a general, I guess, greeting is we say kill,
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 kill.
And what's the other one?
What other one?
You say when you guys did the group one.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Oh, man, you said it. I forgot. You said it yesterday. That somebody says something and everybody's like, kill! Or,
yeah, that's it. Get some.
Yeah, get some. Get some!
Kill.
That was crazy. So, yeah, man, you already know we got to take this quick commercial break. Shout out to De Leon Tequila. Mr. Take That, Take That.
You sure?
P. Diddy style. And shout out to everybody that have been listening. Shout out to everybody that has been participating in our questions. Shout out to everybody that has been sharing. Everybody know who you are. We're not going to sit here and shout out every name, but we appreciate y'all. Y'all are the number ones. But before we go into a serious topic here, I have a story to tell myself about Manny. And this is involving the military. So
This is interesting.
So he used to come to my house a lot, and we used to kick in. This was when I was not at the current house that I am at now, but we would always be chilling, and as I'm playing the game or whatever, like, he would always catch himself dozing off or possibly falling asleep. So there was this one time he fell asleep. And as he falls asleep, I'm playing the game, and I don't know where he just straight jumps off the couch, starts looking around, looks at me with like a serious ass, like just face, like, and he just calms down, lays back in the couch, closes his eyes, goes to sleep. And I'm just sitting there stuck with the big eyes, big fucking eyes, like, what the fuck just happened? I'm like, Manny. This he was out, so I don't know if he was like sleepwalking. I don't know, like, you know, if he was just having a bad dream. I don't know what the fuck.
He was on guard, bro.
I don't know what the fuck.
You,
yeah.
Oh,
and he was. It was just kind of fresh, right? I think it was still kind of fresh. He was just getting up, and then I'm like, what the fuck? He ended up doing it again. I'm like, bro, you good? Still staring at me, looking at me like, yeah. I mean, he didn't even answer me. He was just like. Like, just shaking his head, like, yeah. Like, and then he'll sit back down, lay back down. He's out, like, Manny. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm tired now. Because I think, to be honest, I think Julie was in North Carolina or something when Ruby was having her child. And he ended up sleeping over. And I'm like, man, I put myself in the room. I locked the door. I'm like, fuck
damn.
That. This nigga ain't gonna wake up and be coming in my
Yo.
Room. So then.
He was a barrier.
Bro, I'm like, nigga, how you trying to die? Like,
what the fuck?
He keeps waking up and he just be mean mugging me like he don't know who I am, nigga.
What
I'm trying to live
hell,
another day.
Bro.
So yeah, that shit was crazy to me, but like I told him the other couple days after, like, bro, like, what's up with you? Are you okay, nigga? Are you having bad dreams? Or like, what's up with you, bro? You was scaring me. I even told him to, like, and nigga, yeah, I locked the door.
Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I forgot all about it. I remember it now, though. I remember that's when I stayed over that night.
So what's your excuse? You weren't in the military shooting up my toes, saying something about, bitch, I'll smack the fuck out of you.
I don't know what the fuck kind of dreams I was having, bro. Yeah, I was.
Trauma's trauma.
But what do you, was it you waking up, like Mr. P. Doofy said, just in like that,
defense mode?
Yeah, or like alert mode, like, or were you actually just dreaming it and you just woke up and
yeah? So did it correlate to the dream, or were it like, did, was it just like kind of like just habit to wake up and be like,
or do you not remember it at all? Like, you
don't none of the above. It was nothing crazy like that. It's just sometimes when you thinking about something and you didn't mean to go to sleep but you fell asleep, you wake up not realizing you fell asleep, so you're like trying to, and you also try to pretend like you didn't just fall asleep, so you try to play it off like, you know what I'm saying, I wasn't just sleeping, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I don't know.
Fuck yeah, that. Because you were laid back and I'm like, you're all right.
So you think about it. So you think about it more than you thought you would.
Now I've definitely worked through a lot of, you know, you work through a lot of things now. Yeah. But I definitely don't sleep well, you know what I'm saying?
Damn. What the fuck is going on?
I was
laughing
about myself, man. I was just thinking about like,
so Thomas, what was that funny?
Right. Like, what the fuck? He almost broke his own couch, bro. What the fuck?
Like before I locked my door, I should have just whacked this nigga over the head with something like boom. Now I know he going down there for real.
Bro, that might have triggered him.
I get to sleep in peace. Like,
what
the?
Bro, he woke up and been flipping pillow like the guns and shit.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! Che.
What is it?
Che. I'll say kill and go back to sleep.
Kill.
So this is part of why I'm on this podcast. To debunk all the myths that people tend to have and how crazy things are. We're just normal people like Mr. Pitufi here who just woke up out of his sleep normally. You know, it happens.
Talking about something, I'm about to smack this bitch.
I was scared at all. I turned on
and it's crazy, though, because I remember that, and I was literally looking at the door, and they said that's what happened. Like, when I woke up out of my sleep, like, so I don't remember waking up out of my sleep, but for me, it was just a dream. And I just remember seeing somebody there. And then there, so I'm asleep, and everybody just watching me like, bro, you literally just looked at the door, and so nobody was there, and you're talking about, like, what are you looking at? So I'll smack the shit out of you.
You're that conjuring lady.
No, that shit was scary. I woke up
in somebody's nightmare, staring at the door like, "Bitch, I would slap this shit out of you."
No, you know how the Undertaker just for real, showing man. Up.
Yo, this nigga was in the nightmare and still said, "Bitch, that. I would slap this."
I remember that, but I will always remember that dream.
Yeah, and just sat up. And I'm late. We were on the
pool. What about that shadow came and slapped the shit out of you?
Eyes open and closed.
Oh, no. Hell no.
I didn't remember. I just heard like what he was saying.
As soon as I like, looked at him. As soon as I looked at him, that bitch was shook. He was like, you can see me? And I was like, bitch, I'll smack the shit out of you. And he bounced, bro.
According to the movies.
In my mind, though. Like, that was my dream.
Human force is way stronger than their force, whatever it is.
I don't know. I've seen some of them shows. They be throwing shit at people. I've seen, like, rocks be thrown. Oh, they'll throw, like, poles at motherfuckers. Like, they was just in the house.
So,
they be walking to, like, doof, ow!
So now we're going to get a little bit into this serious topic. And
oh shit,
we're gonna start off with so Manny here was dealing with a tough time, obviously, and he had lost his mom and his brother.
Sheesh.
And what time of a span? Time span?
Year and a half.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
It was your brother first. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Rest in peace, y'all.
For rest sure. In peace. Did that have anything to do with your decision in going into the military?
Yeah, I think obviously I'd be foolish to say it didn't, you know. Definitely, yeah, looking back at it now in hindsight. Consciously, did I know that? Nah, I didn't consciously have that in my mind. But I knew I had to go away or, you know, I had a lot in me and I had to get it out. And that would seem like the best way to do it, you know what I mean? And, you know, if worst case scenario, I had to die for something, it would be for something bigger than what, you know what I'm saying, they passed away for. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I seen that perspective from a young age, so.
But was that like your getaway? You was like, fuck that, like, could be my distraction. This can be something that, you know, I'm gonna stay disciplined. I'm gonna stay busy. They're gonna get me through this. Like, they're gonna help me get me through this, just for the fact that, like, you know, they're breaking me down. Like you said, you didn't feel no pain. You didn't feel no emotion, really. Like,
kind of like out of sight, out of mind type thing. Like,
yeah. So you know me, I'm all about the family. You know what I'm saying? I'm a family man. So for me, it was always about, like, making my family proud. Like, what could I do? And I always, like, obviously, you know, we're talking about, like, all of us love sports.
Yeah.
I was never 6 foot, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna be no professional athlete, but I wanted to do something big and great and make not only my people that were alive proud, but the people that passed, make them proud as well. So that's where the Marine Corps really attracted me, because the standards are so high. And just seeing that, like, even that uniform, and just knowing that I could picture myself in that, and they would be proud of that. So now my grandmother has that picture in her room, you know what I'm saying, on her dresser. So every time I walk in there, it feels kind of good to know, you know, she's proud of that. So yeah, I would say that's what it was. It's just making my family proud, being able to give my nephews an example to look up to, and just, you know, tell them
that they ain't never no quit. You was the second oldest after your brother? Your brother was the oldest one, right?
I'm the youngest. I'm
the
baby.
You the youngest?
Yeah, I'm the
baby. Oh, because Brittany's older than you too?
Yep.
And it's just you, it was just you, Brittany, and your older brother?
Nope. Older sister as well.
Older sister, that's right. Yeah.
Four of us.
So when your brother passed, did you feel like you was the next man up? Like, you know.
Yeah, to be honest, like, it had obviously it was a negative effect, you know what I'm saying? It was hard, it was rough, whatever, but it pulled something out of me. It made me be a man, you know what I'm saying? It pulled me to, like, yo, I gotta live up to his standard of what he was as a man. He was a very great man for being only 22. So I had to live up to that. That was the motivation to do that.
How old were you when that happened?
I was 16.
16.
Yeah.
I do have a question. I know you went into the military, like, after that or whatever, but did you ever give yourself, like, any time to cope with the situation, like, to actually deal with the fact that you did lose your brother?
Yeah, I had a little bit of time in between. I was 16 when I lost my brother. I was 17 when I lost my mom. And I went to the Marine Corps when I was 18. So that, you know, I guess that time I had to really, you know, figure things out. And I had my mind set. That's what I wanted to do. I knew it for sure. I was running hella miles a day and just training and just, you know, I stopped smoking. Vaping, you know, or I guess back then, you know, that's what I was doing. Whatever, you know. Whatever you want to call it. But I stopped doing all of that. I stopped drinking, just straight. I was just, you know, training for that. And that's what I went and did.
Okay. So not to make this hard for you or anything, but who were you close to, your mom or your dad?
My mom, of course.
Your mom?
Yeah.
So when she passed,
mama's boys.
Like, what was the biggest effect it had on you? Like, did you feel like you want to get close to your dad now because she passed? Or, like, how did it affect you? What was the biggest change?
So it did the opposite effect of what happened with my brother. So my brother, like I said, it challenged me to kind of, like, go higher and you know, it pulled something out of me, like a greater part of me, the man in me. With my mom, it broke me. I was like, it crushed me. I was a mama's boy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Immediately, like,
same. For sure.
That one, and the thing was, is like, I was the baby. So, you know, my mama get in fights with my stepdad or whoever, and she'll leave, and then she'll always come back, and I'll be crying because I want to go with her. She'll come back and she'll get me, and she'll be like, why are you crying? And I'll be like, because I was scared, you know what I'm saying? I wanted you to, and she'll always tell me, I'll never leave you. And if I did, I always come back for you.
Yeah.
So when she was gone, bro, they told me she was gone. I was like, this ain't real, bro. This ain't real. So, like,
right. Like, so she gonna come back for me
when they told you?
I found out. I went to the. I was at the hospital.
What I'm saying, before the hospital, like, did they give you a call and you ended up at the hospital? Like, what were you doing?
Before that night, I was at St. Rocco's.
The festival?
Yeah, bro. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah, I was wilding out. I was with a bunch of my boys. We was getting in a fight, chasing some dudes and down Fulton. Just wilding out. And then eventually I realized, like, we was tripping. So then I see my cousin. I was like, yo, let me hop in with you real quick. And we were riding home, man. As we were riding home, I got a call that my mom was in the hospital. And she was in the hospital often. She had a lot of, like, sick, medical issues. Yeah. Yeah. So I thought it was just one of those normal.
You think it had a lot to do because of your brother, or?
Yeah, essentially that's what happened. She started drinking real heavy after my brother.
Right.
And a year and a half later of just, you know, drinking every day, you know. She finally just, you know, had too much.
No,
yeah. So I don't know if it was her. I don't know if it officially it like was the liver, her heart, but
like it's actually legit. Like people can die off broken hearts and like.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like if you like break enough of your heartstrings, you can die from that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's medically. They say it's medically proven, no, but
people literally like couples, like old couples and stuff.
So like, yeah, like pass. Yeah, exactly. So like, if you were an elderly couple and say the wife passed, the dude would not. It wouldn't be too long after that the dude passed.
Yeah, no, I definitely look at it that way. Like, I definitely believe in my heart that, you know, had my brother not passed away, my mom would still be here for sure.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because that was, they had their own. He was mama's boy too. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
was he the oldest?
He was the oldest boy. He wasn't the oldest. But when he passed, I had to watch that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what gives me peace now. That's what brings me peace now to kind of look at it now and say she is in a better place and she's not in pain anymore because I watched her drink herself to not even to sleep, but just sit there in the seat, jamming music, loud as can be.
Yeah.
Just going in on, you know what I'm saying? And just screaming at the top of her lungs. And it was rough, but now I know, you know what I'm saying? She's, hopefully, I like to believe she's with him and they together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. I believe that too, that somehow, you know, broken heart or whatever the case may be.
Did you ever feel like you had any guilt, faults? Like you felt like there's more you could have done to like try to better the situation? Or like, did you ever put any blame on yourself? Like, damn, I should have done this or I could have done this maybe to help my mom, or like, did you ever in your life put any blame on yourself? Like,
well, with my brother, yeah, that's probably what. So when we talk about like what led me to join the Marine Corps, what really happened was I was there with my brother, so mm-hmm. I was standing right there, and when I was standing there looking at him, I'm not gonna lie, I couldn't move. I was frozen. You know what I'm saying? So genuinely, I had to start living with the reality and the regret of at least I could have got to him. At least I could have sat with him, made him feel more comfortable or whatever the case may be. But I didn't. I was in shock, bro. I couldn't believe my superhero was sitting right there bleeding, you know what I'm saying, on the ground. Like, that was what was happening. I'm like, he's fine. He's going to get up, thinking in my mind. But I couldn't, you know. Anyway, so with that regret and that guilt, it led me to be like, you know what? I'm never going to let that happen again. I'll never be in a situation where I get so confused, frozen, whatever the case may be. My
heart started pounding, bro.
Yeah, I'm teary-eyed.
That is so sad.
As you explained that you were sitting there like watching him bleed and you felt like, you know, that's my big brother. He's going to get up. Like,
yeah, it's my superhero.
I literally thought about all of y'all, bro.
I actually fucked and I was like, that's real shit. Like, I would think like, oh, he's going to get up.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's crazy as fuck that you explain it like that, because that's a real feel. Like, I felt my heart started raging. Like, I started trying to picture, like, damn, I would probably think the same thing. Like, you know, he's about to get up.
Yeah, nah, man.
But
you know what? Sometimes that's good to hear, because now that he said that, like, I know you guys are both very strong. I know Macho's very strong. Like, now that you've made that point, I feel like even though I might have it set in my head, like, they're going to get up, I want to be there with them. Just in case if they don't, sure. Like, at least let me share those last few moments with them so that they feel safe before they go.
Absolutely.
But like you said, you never know. You might want to do that, but you might just be stuck. You might
be stuck just like him. But I'm going to try to, like, you know, brush it off and be like, you know what, let me just try. Even if I feel like I can't move,
That takes the strongest of people, because I know Manny's a strong motherfucker and he can withhold a lot of shit, but... Like, when you're in that situation, sometimes you don't know. You just shut down.
But that's why, like, to bring it back into full circle, that's why I wanted to go to the Marine Corps. Because I'm like, this is a place that I'm going to learn how to do that. I'm
going
to
learn how to do myself.
I'm going to learn how to defeat myself. I'm never going to be caught by that fear. I'm going to defeat fear. That's what I decided.
So you mean, like, if you saw that happen again, you wouldn't be stuck like that. You're like, all right, I know exactly what to do. Like you were saying earlier, with like the tourniquet thing. Like, all right, I need to install a tourniquet. Let's do this. Let's get you rolling. Come on, brother. Let's go. We out.
And to this day, I don't hesitate on anything. When you described me in one word that day, I asked, he was telling me a couple of people. He was like, yeah, I describe everybody in one word, bro. So I was like, really? How would you describe me? What's the one word? You remember what you used? Aggressive.
Aggressive. Yeah.
Aggressive. That's what I am, and that and so to bring Mama this mentality. To bring a little bit of clarity to my mentality and what I've learned from it all now is really like, you know, I'm definitely it changed me for sure, but it didn't define me.
Like, don't hold back type deal.
So that led me down a path, but that doesn't mean it defines who I am and who right. I became. So that definitely is a big reason
why and that's what I'm saying. Like, don't hold back. That's like a good right. thing and a bad yeah. thing in the same sense. Like, don't hold back. You yeah. know.
But all of that is now. I look at all those things that we're talking about, and everybody's saying it's really heavy and it's tense. But all that is a blessing now. I look back at that as a blessing, and I thank yeah. God that I was blessed with it at the age I was, because we all go through our own traumas, and regardless if one sounds worse than the other. You going through that is the absolute worst thing you've ever been through. So, like we yeah. said, when we talked about the godly episode, like, that set the bar for, like, for that man losing his baby girls or whatever, you know, whatever the idea was, or the mm-hmm. The fantasy or whatever. That's to him the worst thing in the world. Right. So all I say is, you know what I'm saying?
We can't campaign pain or trauma.
Exactly, and forgive yourself for it. Forgive yourself for feeling guilt and regret in those moments, because in the end, you're gonna appreciate all of that pain, because it made you stronger.
Yeah.
And that's why you are who you are. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And all those reasons are reasons why you should keep pushing and keep growing and keep trusting.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough time, man. You said in a year and a half, you lost, you know, your biggest role model and your brother. And then you lost one of the love of your life. In a year and a half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's...
Like, that's tough, you know what I mean? And like you said, we was mama's boys, so that's even tougher, you know what I mean? Like, if you was a daddy's kid and you still have your dad around, you know what I mean? It's cool, but, yeah, you know, it's, I'm the same way. I wouldn't know how I feel if I didn't have my mom, you know? And you overcame that. I mean, not only you try to overcome that by distractions and shit, but like, you went to the military, which was even tougher. Like, you had something even heavier on your shoulders. Like, now you're dealing with that and you're still pushing yourself through military. Like, that shit right there is like double the weight on my shoulders. Like, that's insane to me. I don't even know if I can, for you to have that, be that strong-minded and, you know, deal with that and still push yourself through the military, nigga, that's incredible, bro, because like, a lot of these people, they'll break down, they'll be hurt, and like, of course, and we know you probably was too, but like, you did this and still push yourself through military shit.
So two things on what you said to reflect back on everything you were explaining. One, first and foremost, hindsight being 2020, I think it was really hard for me to go through that in that period of time, but I can see the blessing in it of, one, I was 16, 17 years old. So I had them for 16 to 17 years to prepare me for that moment. And I had the youth and the energy to actually get through it. I ain't been through nothing yet. So I had the endurance, emotional endurance to go through it. Again, it's hindsight, 2020, looking back at it.
Yeah.
In the moment, you don't know all this, but looking back, right. Now you do. So that's the first thing that I'll say is, like, you know, people that you know, either don't have that many years with those people they love, or have more years and then more memories, and then it's have to traumatic. Lose them at an age that they're really not prepared to lose them.
Yeah,
I was blessed in that regard. And then the second thing is, the military was not harder than what I just went through.
What I was still going through. You already went through a tough time.
Exactly. And that was my mentality, my perspective the whole time, was there's nothing that I'm going to face here
that will hurt
and
more.
I'm going to go through here that's going to hurt more
for sure.
than what I already been through. That's, you know what I'm saying? Because now, when I have to face that moment of fear of myself, now all I got to do is move. I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to be in that moment, and I'm going to see that space. But now I can cover that ground.
You can react the right way. You can react correctly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That is like very inspiring.
For real, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm learning a lot just within this. This is.
I told you, y'all don't know me.
It's not one for real, one thing, bro.
Layers like an onion.
One thing.
All right, Shrek. All right, Shrek. Yeah. Layers.
One thing.
I'm an ogre.
Yeah, he is.
We're like onions. Layers.
And you don't want nobody at his swamp neither.
And then you cry.
But I was going to say, one thing I've noticed Manny changed in when he came out of the military is he provided a lot for his family. He literally did gather his family, and he wanted everybody to be happy and comfortable in one house. And Manny made that happen. Mm-hmm. He knew when he came out of the military, the only thing that matters now is family.
Yeah.
And he even wanted to buy, like, the whole space by his grandma's house and everything. He's like, I'm buying everything from my grandpa, my mom. But my dad, you know, my sister, like, everybody. Yeah. He was ready to buy the whole neighborhood. And all he's thinking about is, like, the only thing that matters right now is family. And that's what he's been doing. And the crazy part is he just came back from being in Atlanta for so many months. And he was still trying to take care of his family.
Supporting family, yeah. Supporting family, you know? in multiple ways.
And one thing I can say is that, Manny, you're a very supportive person. And when you do believe in somebody, and when you do believe in something, you're there motivating them. You're there, like, by their side. And I witness you even, you know, not only care, but contribute as well. You know what I mean? And that's another thing, that aspects that you got to one day sit there and think about, like, you know, you say your brother was your superhero. A lot of people might think of you as their superhero. One, you served for them. And two, like, the way, you know, you, like I said, you motivate people. You're by their side. You will support them. If you got something moving that's good and you believe in it, you're right there. Like, even when you went to Puerto Rico and did that thing after the hurricane, going out there, you was worried about the people. You're never a selfish person. You're not thinking about yourself. All you're trying to do is always help people. And, you know, we need a lot of people like that, man. We do.
It's a good thing to have. Like I said, you're a role model, man.
So, hey, if your brother was your superhero, hey, a lot of people might think you're their superhero. For real. Like, even your family, you do good things, man. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm sorry that you did lose your brother and your mom. But you stepping up as the man you are, and me seeing, like, you put a whole house there for your family. Anybody that needs in and out, it's open. And that means a lot, you know. You did mature, and not only you mature, but you are the next man up. You're the man of the family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're doing what you have to do to take care of your family. Not only that, but you make time for the rest of your family. And I consider that as me. You know, you come here and you take, you know, you like playing with Italy's, you know what I mean? And, you know, we appreciate all that shit. You know, you always make time, and that shit means a lot to everybody. Making time is very important. The little things. Very important. And especially for you that put a lot of time away by yourself, and now that you're free, now that you're home, you know, you're focused on putting on time with family and everybody that's important right now. So, you know, at the end of the day. By the way,
thank you for getting her that big life-size Rapunzel doll that I had to comb her knots out of. Thank you.
Well, that's another thing that I'll say to anybody that's lost anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they live on with you, through you, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you got to carry on that legacy of whatever y'all believed in. Now, the only way to keep them alive is through living that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, the two people that I lost that we talking about, they believed in family, you know what I'm saying? So, my mom was all about your brothers and sisters, you stick together. One of you fight, all of you fight, you know what I'm saying? So then that's what y'all got, and that's why I love you. That's why I'm here. That's why I support you. You know what I'm saying? That's what we were all about, too. So now that even though they're not here, you think I'm changing? Hell no. Nah. I'm still going to, you know, look out for their babies and teach them and raise them the way that they would have, you know, their parents would have raised them, and my mother would have been there to guide them along.
Kind of keeping the legacy alive.
Absolutely, because it is alive. Me, I'm alive.
Yeah, you know exactly.
I'm just a them. You know, I'm just a collection of all of them.
You lost your brother, but you gained two more.
Absolutely.
Well, that's another reason. That's another reason why military helped him, because he gained family.
Right. Not only in us, but
you still have people that are family. Those are your brothers.
Like when he was in the military, that was all his family. All of those guys, they were like.
Gonna stand down.
I always hear the military people talk about, like, oh, those were my brothers, those were my sisters, regardless of whatever. It was like, bro, this is my family. When we're out here, this is it.
Yeah,
we take care of each other no matter what.
Let me see that video. You got
for sure. Yeah. As long as it ain't his wife, it's clear.
Yeah, right. If it ain't your wife, it ain't your life.
Married, once you get married, it's a no go, brother.
No passing that around.
But
hey, you said you got Monique on that camera. Can we see that?
So,
what's the videos you used to watch? Booty callers or
booty talk?
Booty talk.
Booty talk.
Booty talk 36. Oh, you got the booty talk 36. Let me see that, bro. I need that real quick. I'm on post, bro.
So I'm dry snitching a little bit right here, but I don't even think they got them anymore. But back when we was, you know, doing our thing, everyone has a hog board. So a hog board is pretty much like if you open up that cabinet, the whole inside of the cabinet is filled with just pictures. Porn? Yeah, I mean, I get pictures.
Like Playboys and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, not all naked, but, you know.
Yeah, for sure. A little mixture of everything. A little mixture. Yeah.
So for guys that want to join the military.
The hog board.
Especially the Marine Corps.
Like a pig in front of it.
Especially the Marine Corps, though. You heard Mr. B2Fee, for the guys that do want to join the military, especially the Marine Corps.
This nigga talking like I want to join.
No, I'm saying.
He said, you heard Mr. Pitufi, in case you want to join. What the not fuck? You're recruiting, bro?
Not me.
You're recruiting. You heard Mr. Pitufi. Have you heard?
I mean, if you want to get your ass in that black box and, like Manny said, that's your only private time jack in a box.
Okay, what is the black box?
What you mean?
You were talking about it earlier. What is the black box?
The watch. When you're in that, you were just telling me, can you think if I can do the, what is it?
Oh, if you're standing, yeah. So we was talking about, I was asking you a question about something totally different, unrelated, but I know what you're asking.
What is the box? What is that? I mean, what is that
thing you were talking about? Yeah, she said black box. Where did black box come from?
So you like
just to give the listeners context, we were having a whole conversation yesterday. And these are the questions that they're bringing up, but they're not giving the full context. So the question was about this box that I was talking about. And I was just describing that when you're standing post, which is like when you're standing watch.
Yes.
You're pretty much in a big box. It's not just a box that with no doors or no windows. It's open. It's all open. You can see. It's just like, but it's there's sandbags around.
Like a phone booth? That small?
Bigger than that, probably.
Bigger than that, okay.
But it could be as small as that. They all vary in size, but okay. Probably most likely bigger.
So it's like one of those like when you're going to like those residential complex like places, and they got like the little nigga. But like, all right, who you here for? Oh, you got a delivery or something? Okay, I'll buzz you in.
Not a bad description. Like yeah, not too.
So like not too small, but not too big either. Just
or is it when you're in jail? You know how they have like those posts. Where the securities aren't at like that one box and they're just fucking watching like.
No, that box is bigger. You're talking about like the.
It's like the one where you get to like literally watch everything.
Yeah, that box is bigger.
He's talking about like the watch tower.
He's talking about. Yeah.
No. That's a little big.
He's talking about a one man just you sitting there.
I mean, sometimes you can stand. Most times you stand post with two people.
Two people.
Because one person falls asleep.
So what happened in that situation?
So wait,
one person watched and somebody turned it back. You guys are just back to back.
So hold on. So somebody was like, "Hey, I'm gonna whack it. Turn your back."
That's what I'm saying. Are you back to back? Like, all right, I'm just doing this, and you're watching.
This is the only private.
And then I'll watch, and you do this.
This is the only private time they get.
Some dudes get real close with their buddies, and they get down like that, and it's cool, it's comfortable. They get. I need my personal space. I never got down like that. You know what I'm saying? So just to clear the record.
If you got a wacky, you got a wacky.
But there's some dudes that, yeah, they definitely
choke
comfortable
that
enough.
Fuck that
they did what they had to do, bro.
Well, they had to choke that hoe.
Flip the bean.
Choke that hoe. Flick the bean. Oh, that's your that's the female military.
So again, no offense, but there was
bean.
No females.
We don't know about that over here.
There's no females.
We cannot flick the bean over here.
All right, so yeah, you said you got some questions for us. What you got?
So one of the questions I was going to be what you asked him. Now I want to ask you is
what?
Would you do it?
What, the box?
Military.
Oh, military?
Yeah. Would you have done it? Did you ever think about it? Let's start with that. Did you ever think about it? Because honestly, most...
I never thought about it.
High school students are either met a recruiter or they thought about it.
The thing that pisses me off is that when they do go to your high school, they expect everybody that's in the lunchroom or wherever the hell they posted that, hey, sign up, you know? And like, sometimes the good in you is like, I'm just going to help this person out and sign up. I didn't know what the fuck I was signing up for. I'm just like, yeah, here, at least I'm going to help you out, volunteer. You've been sitting here, everybody just walking past you like, nah, fuck you. No. You know what I mean? I'm like, fuck it. I signed it. Next thing you notice, I'm getting blown up in emails, phone calls, everything. Like, hey, you know, yeah. we're expecting you. Well, I'm like, no, like, I don't want to do the military. What the fuck are you talking about? So, would I be able to do it?
This nigga was just trying to show off for the girl. Just I'm like, all right, I'm going to just go up to this booth.
Nah.
And sign up real quick.
It had nothing to do with
go up to this booth real quick. Hey, you see what I'm signing up for? Hey.
No. It had nothing to do with the girl. It had nothing to do with none of that. It was just like, you know, the good heart of me. I'm just like, damn, they getting no attention. Everybody's just like, no. So I'm like, fuck it, I'll sign up. It's just a card, right? It's just a card I gotta sign. Okay. I didn't know. I was fucking pretty much almost damn near registering to be in the military. Like, no, that's not what I wanted. No. But can I do it? Yeah.
I know you can do it for sure.
I know I can do it. I know I have the mentality.
Would you do it?
That's what I'm saying. Listen to this. Can I do it? Yes. I know I have the mentality. You know, even Manny a couple of times told me, like, I can see you as, like, a leader of a squad.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all literally just told me, like, y'all have faith in me. I could do it. Right. Would you do it?
But that's what I'm saying. Would you? I know I can do it. I know I have the mentality. I know I can push it, put in the work. I know I can get through it, any training, combat, whatever. But would I want to do it? I don't know. Probably not. You know what I mean? Especially at this point, like, I don't want to leave my family behind just to do this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, I feel like that's years of my life that I'm not going to get back to watch my daughter grow or, like,
true
shit like that. Now, before, when I was fucking around in high school, just trying to be nice and fucking sign the card, hell no. I didn't want to fucking do that. I was just trying to be nice. I wasn't thinking nothing about being in
So it was a hell no before. And it's just a no now.
Yeah, that's a no. That's a no for me.
I thought about it. There was definitely a chance for me.
It was a no for me.
Especially because growing up, I was always like, yeah, I'm going to be a SWAT member. And then I grew up and I was like, fuck 12.
I did.
Fuck 12. I could not be no rat, no snitch, no buster.
The crazy part is, I did want to be. I didn't want to be a cop. I wanted to be a crime scene investigator. But to get to that point, you gotta go through police academy.
Yeah,
and all that shit.
Opara, so, police academy, all that shit. Yeah.
So I wanted to eat the bacon, not be the bacon.
Oof. That's what I'm saying.
You feel me?
I didn't want to be a. I didn't want to be that. But nigga. I wanted to be cool. I used to see the movies where they're like busting doors. I'm like, who's in here?
Yeah.
And you catch a drug lord or something. Like, yeah, and everybody wins.
And I'm a man of adrenaline. Really like I'm a man of adrenaline. So I know I can do it. And I know my heart will be pumping. I'll be so into it and shit, you know.
This nigga plays Siege, bro. He knows what he's doing.
Got two, he got two hands up. Like, he's carrying a fucking machine gun.
He's going to be in the... But, in a fire frame, like, hit this, Megan.
Duck down.
You know, we're playing hit this. Mission, thinking that's what it's going to be like.
You're like, bro, what is he doing? Is he doing the Harlem Shake? I can't shoot him. Where's he going?
The Harlem Shake.
So the number one misconception that I think people have about war fighting is, like, they think they could do all this stuff. It takes a lot of endurance. Physical endurance. You know what I'm saying?
Not even that. A lot of eating
So is a drop shot pop and like
a lot of eating
possible?
Shit.
A what?
Like a drop shot?
Yeah,
like
it's very it's very possible, but it's not accurate. Something you would do. Like
it's no accuracy exact, probably,
like,
right?
Yeah. Like you're saying, like in a fire, you're not really thinking like, all right, drop shot, let me fuck this guy up.
I
you're
feel like you're wasting
like,
all right, time.
I'm killing this guy, that's it.
In my mind, I think it seems like a waste of time.
It's all about faster trigger.
I mean, right. I could be wrong.
Pull that trigger fast. Shoot him first.
Yeah, tactics could be debated all day. You know what I'm saying?
But we did talk about earlier why you don't drink. Why is that?
Well, first, ladies first, I was going to have you answer the question as well since they didn't let you answer the question. Did you ever think about it?
What?
I did think about it.
What was it? Which Air Force?
Remember, they were writing me for the Army.
I remember they were writing you, but I didn't think.
Which one?
And you thought about it. You was in the dark thinking about it.
From St. Martin.
Which one? Were you going to be Captain Platoon?
Which one?
Captain okay, Pitufa. I wasn't going to be fucking Captain Save-A-Ho. Like, I was not going to be the sailor.
Captain Pitufa.
But I did think about it just because.
Hey, Navy second up, ain't it?
Nah, it depends.
What's second
personal
up?
Preference. It depends. To situational.
Your what's your preference? So you think Marine Corps Sop, what do you think is a second?
Oh, shit. It all depends. So like war fighting, I would say it's Marine Corps and then the Army.
You know what I'm
saying? But I mean, I would say the Navy SEALs are pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? Navy SEALs go hard. But there's some dudes in the Army that really went and did it. You know, like Kenny. Right, y'all know Kenny. Shout out to Kenny. My boy done went down range and got some. Did the damn thing.
Well, I did try.
You're talking about King Ace Kenny?
I don't know the name.
Yeah, that's like a gamer tag. I got asked.
Mm-hmm. I'm not. You're talking about that Kenny?
My guy.
Kenny. And they did mention though that my tattoos were a bit too low.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, fuck you. So I was like, I'm cool. Other ones were hitting me up, and I was like, nah, fuck you. Just because the one was like, your tattoos, it's just not going to work.
So you can't cover that?
The only branch that you could really get that through in is the Army. For real. You can get waivers, and they can work with you to like get you could try to get laser removal or whatever, or try to cover it.
Which they did tell me that, but I'm not removing my tattoos.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was about to say. So I got a question.
So I was like, I'm not doing it.
Before I answer your question, she still has a question.
Oh, yeah, she did ask you a question. You didn't answer.
Yeah, why don't you drink anymore?
All right, so...
All
right. I kind of was explaining. I was expecting this question.
You was since, or you wasn't?
Since I'm the only man here without a drink in his hand. So I was expecting this question.
No solo cup.
No red solo.
So yeah, like I was explaining before, the culture of the military in general is really toxic in terms of drinking. A lot of alcoholics. But in the Marine Corps, even worse, bro.
For sure. All they do is
so did you drink yourself
anyway,
out?
Any military, all they do is drink.
So I already exactly any military for sure, but the Marine Corps is kind of like I said, it's part of the culture. Like it's in the pride of, you know what I'm saying. So anyways, being a De Leon and it already being in my blood and in my family, you know what I'm saying.
A what?
All type a De Leon, you know what I'm saying. Being in all types of family
a what?
Members, a motherfucking De Leon, nigga.
Motherfucking De Leon, nigga.
One more time.
De Leon.
And what that makes us?
Brothers,
the Lion King. Oh,
okay. Kings of the Jungle.
Kings of the Jungle, baby.
So yeah, my family, you know what I'm saying, a lot of alcoholics, so that wasn't a good combination. I became an alcoholic and then I came home and we was wilding out having fun, but then I started to get carried away. You know, everybody started to move on with their lives and do productive things, and I was starting to see myself in a different light. So I wanted to represent myself better, my family better. And I realized when I drank, I just tapped into this other person, this darker person.
Is it because of the military?
Is that aggressive person?
Yeah. The uncontrolled aggressive.
But is it because of the military?
I think it's a collection of, you know what I'm saying?
Life experiences, military.
Yeah.
You think about...
Being where we're from, I think grows a lot of animosity in all of us, you know what I'm saying? Or even growing up without one of our parents... I think that grows us up with a lot of animosity. We don't understand why, and we just have a lot of anger because of that. Just growing up where we grow up. So, you know, alcohol being an expression used as like a habit or a hobby or something to help you cope with that, yeah, it can get toxic.
I got a question. Do they ever call you guys jugheads or jarheads?
Okay. I've probably been through this.
The term is called jarheads, but ever since Israel know me, he called me a jughead. Him and fucking DJ.
Jughead.
So it's funny because...
Ain't jarheads like army?
No, so it's
jarheads
funny.
Marines are considered jarheads, and I'll tell you the story is because the haircut.
Yeah.
It goes around the head. They just
leave it. So, you
plop the jar, and it was like, all right.
High and tight.
There it is, high and tight. That's what
it is. But, no, the reason why I always used to call him Jughead is because, like, I don't know, when I actually first started chilling with Manny and meeting Manny, I was like, he even said it like, you know, it means a lot to me. I don't have nobody, I don't have nothing. So like when people text me or write me or, you know, check up on me, like it means a lot. So I will always fuck him like, what up, Jughead? Everything good over there? And like everything was always Jughead, but I just made sure that like I always reached out to him and made sure he was good, because I could imagine like being, you know, stationed somewhere and never hearing from nobody, or like, you know, that's almost like being in prison. You don't hear from nobody. Most of the time when you're in prison, you don't hear from nobody. You don't get no letters, you know.
It's that's just, what I was thinking about, yeah.
And if you do, it dies out so quick that at the end of the day, you become one of the people that don't get shit. So
you better put that money on that GTL account.
So I always try to reach out and make sure that I always send them some
money on my JPay
communication.
Yeah, bro. No, you and DJ definitely two of the most consistent people that always stayed in communication, checking up on me, seeing how I was doing, where my head was at. Other than my family was always there, but y'all always, in terms of friends. Y'all two was the ones that proved to be the real niggas, you know what I'm saying? And everybody else, you know,
rest in peace, DJ, who they are.
Yeah, rest in peace to the big dog. So yeah, everybody else, you know, a lot of people think I'm like out the way all the time and whatnot, but that's just because I seen who's who, you know, everybody showed their true colors, and that ain't a bad thing or a good thing, it's just a real thing.
So, you got any more questions for me or Mr. Pitufi?
Mr. Pitufi, I know sometimes we talk about listening to the older episodes. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go back and listen to It's a Vibe?
I didn't.
He don't listen to shit. That's his problem. He got to listen to it, so knows.
So hold on. Before we start bashing my guy, I told you, be nice to my guy, all right? This is my punk partner right here. He didn't announce it in the intro, but... That's my bomb partner.
Baby.
So look, I want you to, this is your homework. I'm giving you a request. Listen to the end of It's a Vibe. In that episode, that's the one that, you know what I'm saying, you had to miss because, you know, you was all that.
Because of Mrs. Pitufa.
My guy literally stops in the middle of it. And this is what, like, in the first listen to this podcast, I thought it was just him, y'all fucking around. Y'all just making some shit or whatever. But you know, it genuinely grew on me. And one of the most pivotal moments, besides Steel Willie got me when he told me, like, yo, you know, we can have our voices recorded for forever. That was a deep, you know, shout out to Steel Willie. But the other one was, my guy was talking, and he stopped in the middle of the interview just to kind of give you some words. So go back and listen to those words, bro. And, you know, and then obviously, like I said, with Godly, you know, that shit made me realize, like, yo, this is deeper. And the autism shit and all that, you know, this isn't just a little bullshit podcast, man. This is some real shit, real topics, real people, real stories, real all that, you know what I'm saying?
And he listens, yo, because he knows what he's talking about. I did say a couple words for Mr. Pitufi, and maybe now he'll listen. You heard the episode?
Which one?
It's a Vibe with me and LaRod.
That it was just both of you guys? Yeah, because you gave me the song, he was like, oh... You know, maybe I'll slide through. And LeBron was like, bro, I'll slide through with you. Like, come on. You know, we could go after this.
Yeah,
and
I saw some things for Mr. Pitufi at the end.
I got a message the next day that was like, bro, I was knocked the fuck out.
I got the same message, yeah.
I was knocked the fuck out.
So what was his question again? He didn't answer, did he?
Well, that's my question was more of a request. It's just to make sure that he goes. If the question was, did he see it? And if he didn't listen to it, to go listen to it.
Okay. Yeah, because
that's one of the reasons that, you know what I'm saying, I really, like, you know, we be working out, we be here, shit, your birthday, whatever it is, we here because, like I said, with those dudes with my family when I was in the military, and then the people that I lost with my family, y'all are my family just like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that. You know what I'm saying? So. I'm here with y'all all the time, and, you know, this is what I feel. I feel that love, that sense of belonging, you know, like a tribal feeling. So, yeah, man, this is where it's at. Family's where it's at. Family y'all forever, know that, bro. For sure. So
F is for family and forever, bro. For real.
F is for friends that do stuff together.
You is for you and me. And it's for anywhere and anytime at all down here in the deep blue sea.
Any more questions though?
You is for uranium bombs.
So of course we want to close on and say, man, thank you for sharing with us. Is there any story that you want to explain to anybody, you know, before we get to the ending of this episode or
No, no.
Not really.
I mean, if you're thinking about doing it, or if you have a loved one or a family member that's thinking about doing it, you know,
I say definitely. If you gotta do it, then you gotta fucking do it like you fucking do it. And if you do it how you fucking do it, you gotta show them that you fucking do it.
That you really fucking Sway. Doing it.
Sway, you do not have the answers.
So yeah, no. If you
get, do your research, if you're feeling it, if this is the path you want to go to.
Not for real. Do your research.
Follow your
gut.
Right.
Because when I
do your research.
Like I said, I signed a card thinking like, yeah, I'm just going to help this guy out. No.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Do your research. Make sure you fit in where you want to go and do what you want to do. Because there's a lot of benefits that come from it.
And be aware where you have your tattoos.
Yeah. So do it for the right reasons. And there's no greater reason to do it than family.
Agreed.
And, you know. Do it for your country as well. You know what I'm saying? That's always a blessing because that's a bigger version of family. But in the end, family is where it's at, man.
So we appreciate you coming here and opening up on your experiences. As you guys know, Manny, he went from Manny to Jughead.
What's up?
Jughead.
What's up?
Or did he go from Jughead to Manny?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he went from Jughead
to Manny.
He came out of the military, and I swear he had no neck.
He was buff like that?
Yeah, he was like, bro, I swear he was like a Ninja Turtle.
Damn. Oh, he had to turn his whole body to look at you.
No, yeah.
And I bet this nigga fucked with him too.
He had to turn his whole
body. Hey, Jughead. And he was like,
what? And like how he was saying yesterday, he literally would turn them corners like,
right face, right face,
Hoorah!
Hoorah!
Too much.
No, don't say that.
Bort.
Fuck you. Okay, yeah. I just thought I was just that. Bort. Yo, ain't shit.
That's how you know he listens.
So yeah, we appreciate having you and talking about your life experience and talking a little bit, getting into deep about your family shit. You know, is there anything else you want to say, like that would help people with these certain circumstances? Do you feel like there's a coping mechanism that will help? Do you feel like was something that helped you go through it? Was it the military? Do you feel like people should go through military? Is there an easier way? You know.
So. Two things I'll leave with, try to be real fast. Sometimes I could be long-winded. But the first thing is get in touch with your dark side, man. Whatever it is, pain you're dealing with, whatever trauma you've been through, whatever, whether it was your fault, not your fault, whether you felt guilty, whether you didn't feel guilty, whether you were staring at somebody you love and you didn't move, or you felt like you should have, whatever the case may be, know that, you know what I'm saying, forgive yourself and then grow from that. And that's where the growth starts, is forgiving yourself. So that's the first thing, is just address that darkness. Don't be afraid of that darkness, because that's who you are. And you got to be in tune with that, to be in tune with yourself. That's the first thing. The second thing is, again, find something that you love and do it for the right reasons. And when you find something that you love, it doesn't matter if it's a career like the Marine Corps or college, which will lead to a career, or you take a trade up or whatever it is. Just make sure you love what you're doing with the time that you have. And your youth is the most important time that you have. So make sure.
Why is this nigga laughing, bro?
Because he brought up
motherfucking comedy podcast.
Because he brought up school, and I'm like, this motherfucker went to the military. Went to school, finished school, went to school, finished school, went to school, finished school. And then he's like, yo, I didn't want to go back to school. Like, nigga, how many schools you got to finish, bro?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this dude is an inspiration, bro. Like, he went and served the country and did what he had to do, no matter what the reason was, and fucking succeeded at it. And then he comes home and just successful, 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 successful. That's fucking dope.
Yeah. So once again, bro, like you said, you know, you gained family, for real, you did, especially in me, you know.
For sure.
And you know how hard it is for me to say, tell this to a lot of people, but I do love you, you're my brother, for real. And we're always going to be there, and
I've heard this myself, bro. He literally have told me, like, bro, I don't love many people. It takes a lot for me to say I love you, to anybody or anything.
No, I appreciate your support. I appreciate what you do for me and my family. And like I said, we are family. And it's always going to be that way. You know, I know that you got my back, and I know I'm always going to have your back. So, but if there's anything you got left for Manny, or...
Nope, just that I owe you all my respect for you serving our country and doing what you've been doing, as well as being a great brother to my brothers. I appreciate that.
Shit, not only that, going through what you went through and, you know, just pushing through that, because I know you've been through a hard time, but the way you've managed to face all those obstacles, that's...
At a young age.
Right, at a young age, and just tackling through it on some Nick Chubb, you know.
Nick Chubb.
Kareem Hunt type stuff, you know. But just the way you tackled those obstacles is fucking incredible, man. You're definitely an inspiration to me, for sure.
So, on that note, we're going to end in a... Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Dog check.
Kill. Kill. Get some.
That's all, folks. That's all, folks.